In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. Today, the church keeps memory of one of our great fathers, a great master in the life of the Spirit, and call his name is John Climacus, the latter. He wrote this profound treatise, a true classic for anybody who truly wants to ascend into the glory of God. It's a very long work, but one small part we can focus on are these words he writes. Quote, "We shall not be judged, brothers and sisters. We shall not be condemned for not having worked miracles or spoken words of prophecy. We shall be condemned for not bewailing our sins throughout our life." End of quote. What is it about sin that should truly cause one to feel a broken heart, to experience a broken heart? That kind of contrition that David felt when he realized the terrible sins that he committed between committing adultery and having a man murdered. We try oftentimes to define sin in terms of morality. It's breaking moral laws and acting contrary to one's particular duties. That doesn't bring the kind of contrition that brought David to write Psalm 50 or 51. That's not the kind of contrition St. Augustine describes when he says, "It's your heart and crying from in your heart." No, sin. Sin is a true deep pain. Why? Sin is disloyalty. Sin is unfaithfulness. Sin is infidelity. Sin is a rejection of God's friendship, a personal relationship. If we take sin seriously, it says to God in some way or some fashion, "Lord, you mean little to me, and your divine love means little to me. Your life and your death mean little to me." To turn away from God is to turn away from life and everything that is conducive to authentic, real, true living. Just as the body has physical laws that govern it, and when you respect the laws of the body, you experience health. And just as the emotional life has certain laws that govern it, and when we obey those laws of the emotional life, one has emotional health. So it is with eternal life and spiritual living. Just as authentic friendships have certain laws that govern it, and when they are disobeyed, it makes for a breakdown in relationships with friends, so it is with God. True, honest, authentic friendship has laws that govern it, and they pertain equally to communion with God. The antithesis to friendship, or what? Coldness, forgetfulness, and indifference. What would become, marital relationships is probably one of the most authentic, fully encompassing type of friendship. And what happens if to the couple, all you are married, right? What happens if you start treating one another with coldness, forgetfulness, and indifference? The marriage would collapse. There'd be no more friendship. That's what happens when we sin against God. When what that communion is broken, when that communion is broken, what happens? Then we begin to judge and condemn other people. And with ease, we begin to turn away from our neighbor in need. I've always say this because the same that our fathers and mothers tell us this. If you're deeply in love with God, you'll become deeply, deeply aware of everybody around you and their own needs. You're never indifferent to anyone. It's not in vain, then, therefore, that in today's gospel lesson, Jesus the Christ teaches these words, quote, "This demon, this spirit, is cast out only by prayer and fasting," end of quote. Fasting is turning away from all that which beguiles us, that which deceives us. When we fast, it brings a clarity and a lightness so that we can see through and see things as they are. The devil is called the great liar. He's called the great deceiver. Because he beguiles you and me by presenting lies as truth and false loves as true love. He tries to lure you and me away from authentic love relationships. That includes what? Loyalty, faithfulness, integrity, and wholeness. And prayer. What is prayer? All these books written on prayer, long dissertations, long essays. Prayer is very, you can summarize prayer in one sentence. It's communion with the living God. Communion with the living God. It's communion with the one who is divine love and authentic life. It's communion with the one who is the source and the power of love and life. This love, this source of life who himself, as we hear in the Song of Songs, is even stronger than death itself. What does the great deceiver do? He tempts you and me into self-reliance and rank individualism and radical self-autonomy. And it comes out in ways that we show little concern for in our words or in our actions and how they affect those around us. Just look at our society today. If you watch over the last 50 years, the United States has become less and less a Christian nation. And what do we see on the rise? A general incivility toward one another. A general rise in aggressive behavior, a general rise in disregard for human life and human dignity. We see a rise in strife and violence. It's no wonder. It's no wonder. We show a greater coldness to one another and a greater indifference toward one another. In today's gospel passage, when the disciples were unable to heal the child suffering from epilepsy, what did our Lord say? First, Bring him to me. Bring him to me. No word in Scripture is to be passed by as just a word. Unless we come to the Lord, all things that we do and say will remain in vain. The question then we ask is what St. John Climacus, or what I began that first quote, do we bewail, lament our separation from God? At every moment of our lives, are we really walking with a heart in communion with God? At every moment of our life, do we sense a profound communion with God? Recall the last time you were in love with someone or something. What does love do? It enraptures. It enraptures you and consumes you. That which you love takes hold of you. Nothing else exists but that which you love. And you want to be nowhere else than that with which you love or who you love. That's enrapturing. It's a power that comes over you. That is the love that God wants from you and me for him. That you're enraptured with God. And you want nothing more than to truly be with him and to know him. When you have that love, prayer is easy. And out of that love flows a genuine love for life. You see that in the saints. And every moment of life. That enrapturing love gives one's heart peace in a world and society that's in tumult. And strength to endure every hardship. Look at Mother Teresa. Do I want to know a woman who experienced, who's lived in tumult? And yet had a peace about her and a strength about her. If you're enraptured with the love of God and it fills your heart, joy will always permeate in your heart despite all the sorrow you may encounter in your life. And a new vigor. Yes, if you're enraptured with the love of God, that heart is full of God, you will have a vigor. A vigor to see God's presence in every person and everything. Thomas Merton, while he did fall away near the end of his life, when he first converted and he entered the monastery of Gethsemane, and he spent a few years in the monastery and gone to the novitiate, and he was really living the life of prayer. One day his abbot asked him to go out down to the town and do some shopping. Thomas Merton hadn't left the monastery for some time. He truly was experiencing that enraptured love of God, just filling his being. And when he walked down to the town, he said, and he writes in his autobiography, he felt so connected to every single human being he walked by, though he knew not their name or anything about them. And he felt a connection to every tree and the sun and the sky and everything that was passing by. That's somebody who's enraptured by divine love. It's also available for you and me. The heart of the person holds dear the presence of the Lord will never say a word of judgment or condemnation, and is never indifferent or cold, and never forgets or ignores. Every single human being matters. And when that person's with you, you're focused. You're focused on this person. If you experience condemnation in your heart, if you experience indifference or coldness, if you experience forgetfulness or ignoring your neighbor, that's the sign that your heart is away from God. He's not the Lord, the Master, the Sovereign of your life, as we pray in the prayer of St. Ephrem. Yes, St. John Climacus wrote this great spiritual classic. And the core teaching of this great classic is simple and succinct. God must be the center of your life and the source of your love. Let us therefore turn to repentance. Turn in an act of metanoia. And do as St. John Climacus teaches. Not by empty bewailing of our past. There's no time or place for regrets in the Christian life. That's self-pitying and self-indulgence. And it is not useless, barren regret of not being what I wish I was. Oh, I wish I was different. Oh, I wish I hadn't done that. That's the devil. That's yourself wallowing in pity. If you're truly enraptured with God and you're in love with Him, then you cry out unto the Lord a profound cry that comes out of the very poverty of your heart. Come, Lord, and come soon. Christ is among us.